Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I am absolutely delighted to have a young lady with us who I know extremely well because she's my daughter. So she is my favourite female in the whole world, Annabelle Middleton. And I wanted Annabelle to come in because she is actually one of my role models. She is someone who, even though the path was set out for her nice and clearly, and she realised that, you know, she's academic and she went to a very nice school, and she realised there was a path set out for her and she probably would end up going to university, she wanted to experience different things. She wanted to push out of her comfort zone, and she has always been like that. And as a result, she's been to a variety of different schools. She has pursued lots of different hobbies, and that has led her actually to end up with an extremely successful career in probably one of the most difficult corporates to join. The way that she ended up working for that company as well is very interesting, in that they approached her, and they approached her because of her LinkedIn profile. And we always talk to young people about the importance of a LinkedIn profile. For those of you listening who don't know what LinkedIn is, it is the business equivalent of Facebook and Instagram. And on LinkedIn, you will see profiles of every person in industry, probably. And it never ceases to astound me how schools don't actually inform young people about LinkedIn profiles. So when Annabelle went to university, she learned how to put together a really excellent LinkedIn profile. And to cut a long story short, that is how she ended up at the company she's at now. There's lots of other aspects to her story and tips that she's going to give you. So Annabelle, thanks so much for joining us, darling. I know how busy you are. If you could start by giving us an overview of your history to date, starting from when you were at school and where you were at school through to the role that you're in now.
Sure. Okay. So school-wise, starting with secondary school, I went to three different schools actually. So my first school was an all-girls school in London. I was there year 7, 8 and 9. It was known as being a very good school, so it was a great start, I suppose. By about year 9, towards the end of year 9, like, I could see the route that everybody that I've ever been friends with, we all take the same route. And it's essentially, you go to this school that I was at until sixth form. You then, we all pretty much go to the same sixth form, or maybe one of two, and then you go to university. So at about year 9, I thought, I can see that I'm going to do that, I'm going to do well, but I'd quite like to try something different. And that's when I first thought about going to boarding schools. One of my friends had actually gone to a boarding school. So I decided I want to go to boarding school. My parents, fortunately for me, backed me and said, yes, you can go. So I went to boarding school for 2 years in Yorkshire. And then I came back to London and went to a sixth form in London.
And that's where you did your A-levels?
That's where I did my A-levels,
yeah. And what A-levels did you do?
So I did economics, English, history and geography for my ASs, and then for my actual A-levels I dropped economics, so I did English, history and geography.
And how did you do?
I did well. I didn't necessarily do as well as I had expected, or as well as I'd wanted to, but I did well enough that I still managed to go to universities, well, the university that I wanted to go to, but I just got there. So it was a wake up call.
You say it was a bit of a wake up call. Quite wanted to ask you about how going to three different schools shaped you. In your case, you know, you actually chose to do that, but I'm sure there are people listening who've also been to a number of different schools. And sometimes it can be regarded as, you know, a bit of a hurdle going to different schools, meeting different people. And, you know, I've spoken to youngsters before who've told me that that impacted their ability to pass their exams, you know, because there was too much disruption, etc. How did you find that?
I think there is probably a difference choosing to go to a school and being sent somewhere if you didn't want to go. But from my experience, it's very different. Each school is very different. The people that you're with are different. And yes, it is difficult to go in as the new person and essentially have to make your friends all over again. Especially, you know, I was in Yorkshire, so it's far away from home, I suppose, like a 5-hour drive. And it's difficult. People are different to you. You're brought up, and my experience was all of my friends were very similar to me. We all had very similar backgrounds. We'd all lived in the same place. We all had the same hobbies. Going to a different school, you know, at a boarding school, let's say a lot of them would have been from Yorkshire. So they were brought up in the countryside of Yorkshire as opposed to being brought up in a city like I was. B, you know, a lot of them, their parents had lived elsewhere or they'd been in the army, so they'd moved around a lot. And for them, it was normal for them to constantly go to different schools, make new friends.
So how did it help you?
I think it taught me to exercise, you know, how to find commonalities with people and how to make friends when not everyone is exactly the same as you. You know, you'll always find something in common with someone, whether it's a hobby or, you know, at school it's a bit easier. Maybe there's a subject you guys both get on, you like something. But you learn that not everyone is the same and that people are from different backgrounds. So one of my friends was from Kazakhstan and there'd been a war there when he was really young. So he'd been brought over to the UK and then been adopted by an English family. And, you know, I'd never met someone like that before. And it's just amazing to hear other people's stories and where they've come from. I think it gives you a good perspective, A, on how lucky I'd been, how fortunate I was that I, you know, I'd chosen to go to another school. Not only was I brought up in London or whatever, but it's interesting. You get to learn about other people, where they've come from, and you get new hobbies, you learn about new things.
So we can talk about how that might have helped you in your career later on in the discussion. But before we do, let's talk about then when you went to university. So tell us a bit about what uni you went to and your experience there.
So I went to Loughborough University, which is renowned for being a sporting university.
And did you know what you wanted to do at this point?
Yep, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to go to university. I knew that at school I'd always been really sporty. Like, I'd always been captains of hockey team, netball team, whatever. I'd always been a horse rider. So it was a good fit. It also, when you go to uni, you essentially have the choice of going to a campus uni, which gives you a very boarding school feel, I thought, or a city uni. And I knew that I wanted that. So I had certain criteria that I wanted to tick. But subject-wise, no, I was interested in a lot of different things, but there was no specific thing that I wanted
to
learn.
So you studied ergonomics. Mm-hmm. So how did that point you in the direction of HR?
So ergonomics, most people would say, oh, what on earth is that? So it's essentially, its very broad definition is human interaction with their environment. And it essentially takes two different routes. You can either go down the product design route, which everyone always takes the example of a chair. It's essentially, you can create a chair to fit any kind of human body. It's like the right size that it fits someone who's 5 foot tall, so 6 foot tall and all of that kind of thing. I didn't take that route. I took the second option, which is more about psychology, human performance, human behaviors, cognitive behaviors, stuff like that. In my third year, one of my modules was applied psychology and HR. And essentially, I had to act as a consultant. An HR consultant, and that was probably my favourite module, the favourite thing that I had to do through my 3 years at university.
And so then after graduating, what happened then?
Well, before I graduated, obviously towards the end, you start looking for jobs. So I started looking at grad roles in HR, and through looking at those jobs, I met a lot of people who were already in a grad role in HR. And I found out that a lot of those people hadn't come straight out of university. They'd also done a master's degree in human resources. So I started looking at that as a separate option rather than going straight in, because although I'd had one HR module, I actually didn't know a huge amount about it. To me, it was still somewhat hiring and firing, which is the basic concept that everyone thinks HR is.
What is HR?
There's obviously the broad definition of it's, you know, working with people in the business. It's the human capital management. But there are many different aspects to it. So you could be in compensation, i.e. pay. You can be in employee relations, so dealing with people issues within the company, whether that's like exit interviews when people leave or things like that. Or the part that I'm in is learning and development. So once people join a firm, I basically work out what their needs are, where they're very good at things and where there are gaps in their performance, and put together training programs that will help them improve in their careers and in their roles.
Okay, so you did your master's, and by now you had that technical expertise in the subject of human resources management. What happened next?
Towards the end of my master's, I started looking for grad roles in HR, like a graduate scheme in big companies in London. I knew that I wanted to work in the finance industry, so I looked at a lot of different finance companies or banking companies that had HR grad schemes in them.
I suppose, just as an aside, that's the benefit of doing a sort of a generic subject like HR or accountancy, something like that, where, you know, every single organisation has the need for those services.
Yeah.
So the fact that you decided that the industry of investment banking was for you, but it could have been, you know, aviation, or it could have been a whole
literally
variety of
any
industries.
Industry. Everyone has an HR department. Yeah. So I actually know someone from my first job that I'll come on to my traineeship. One of the people that I worked with, literally every year, did the same role but in a different industry.
Wow.
So they went from banking to like the charity sector and stuff. So you can be very flexible on what it is that you do industry-wise.
Okay, so tell us about the first job that you got.
So I actually took a traineeship role in an asset management company in London. When I started looking, I was obviously looking at grad schemes, but you soon realise that there is a huge amount of competition for grad roles in comparison to like whether you're a school leaver or you're an experienced professional. Like, the graduate market is really saturated. So I couldn't say, oh, I've got a master's, so I expect this, this and this. It's, you know, you need your foot in the door in industry, and to take something maybe that has less pay. And like, I could have been a school leaver in that job.
So was that, how did that feel that you'd done all these qualifications, you've got this master's, and then you're walking into a job that a school leaver could have achieved? How did you feel about that?
I honestly think I potentially had a slightly better perspective than a lot of my friends would have, purely because, Mum, I'd worked for you in the past, and it's a different skill set actually working than learning about something. So although I felt like I was almost at the pinnacle of education, you know, the only thing I could have done more is have a PhD. You know, I had a master's. I was not experienced when it came to being in the working world. So you kind of have to take that on board and say, yes, I've got a lot of potential in the stuff that I know about HR. But when it comes to actually working in a firm, it's fine for me to start at the bottom. You have a lot, I had a lot to learn, even in the last couple of years that I've been working. There's so much that I've learned now that I would have had no idea about. If I'd have been given a higher up role, I don't know how well I would have done.
And then tell us about your move from there to your next job, which is actually your current role.
So I was at this asset management firm only for about 4 months before I was contacted about my current role through LinkedIn.
So you were approached anyway by this very large investment bank, and you then went through an extensive interview process, which I know from, you know, my own perspective was sort of lengthy and quite arduous. But why do you think that you managed to get through that successfully? What would be your tips for getting through an extensive interview process such as that?
Okay, so I would say the benefit of the extensive interview process that I had, it was important for me to get across all of the other experiences that I'd had and how that could be useful in this business and in my role, because I hadn't had a huge amount of work experience beforehand. You kind of have to show things that you've done in the past, like at university. Like, I'd been the chairman of a sports club at university. I'd been to 3 different schools, so I could network with people from different industries, different backgrounds. There are a lot of other things that you can bring to the table, and you just have to show them how that works in whatever job you're going for.
So tell us a bit about now your current job. What do you do on a day-to-day basis in HR?
So like I said, I work in learning and development. So essentially, that is working with different divisions in the business to design and run training programs for people. So you would essentially do a needs analysis of what gaps there are in their, let's take performance, for example. A team might be really good at one thing, but falling behind on something else. So working out what those things are, putting a program together and then running it. So it's you basically look after the people within the firm and progress them through their careers.
Tell us about, you know, things you love about the role and maybe some of the particular challenges.
I love learning and development. This sounds silly, but that's why I do what I do. I find it very interesting, like going on different training programs and seeing people transform from being at point A, going through a program, and then being at point B and doing so much better. Sometimes the people themselves don't actually see it, but we do being on the outside. Mm. I love that. And I get to see lots of different parts of the business, work with very different people, which you don't necessarily get to do in other roles.
And challenges?
I would say the biggest challenge for me, or that has been for me in the last 2 years, is that it's been my first entry point into the working world. So when I joined, in my head, I've got all this knowledge about my subject and everything that I'm going to do, but I have no experience working in a big firm and what happens there and how to like slot myself in to add value while also going with the flow of how things already work. Mm. I couldn't have just come in and said, this is what I'm doing.
Mm. So you had to be quite humble and sort of work from the beginning, really.
Yeah, if I'd have turned up and said, oh no, I have a master's, I know what I'm talking about, you know, I would have got nothing done. Mm. You have to learn like how to get people on your side if you want to do something. How does it benefit them? How is it adding value to the company? How is it adding value to your team? And then people back you and you're fine. But if you don't have that kind of social awareness or emotional intelligence, I think I would have found it more difficult.
And I mean, you've mentioned there some attributes of doing. Were there any other attributes or, you know, characteristics that you think people need to do well in your particular sector?
Particularly in my sector, but I would say at any time it sounds a bit cliche, but it is really important to be able to work in a team and be a team player. Like you can't do everything on your own. You're going to need help at some point. And you're not going to get that help unless you're also willing to help your fellow teammates. So I would say that's really important. I'd say it's also very important to actually be interested in what you're doing, because it will only make you better at your job. If you're interested, you'll be reading about it outside of work. You won't just get sucked into your day to day. You'll actually know what's going on higher level, like in the economy or in the world of your industry.
And actually, you didn't mention that, but I know for a fact that you do extensive reading. I mean, you know, you are reading a huge amount around your subject, and that's not because you have to, but just because you're interested in it.
Yeah, I think I do a much better job in my role by having those extra bits of knowledge that you gain outside of the business.
Mm. And what sort of hours do you have to do?
I think it varies business to business.
Yeah.
So my hours are generally 8:30 till 6. Mm. I can work from home if I need to every now and again, which is great. I also will have a lot of work on and I'll work later than my designed hours. You know, if you're interested in it, it's not a big deal.
Mm. And where would this role lead to? What sorts of different career paths could be taken? Not necessarily for you, but, you know, anyone in HR, where could they move to after that?
So, yeah, you could either I could continue in HR, learn about other parts of HR, go and work in those, eventually become the head of HR of a big firm. Or you can use the attributes that you learn in HR and move to different divisions, move to different businesses. Like I said, someone I worked with changes the industry that she works in constantly. I think at the end of the day, like, it doesn't actually matter what you're interested in right now. If you're interested in something different in 10 years, you can move across to it. The benefit of HR is obviously, like we've said, it's very flexible in terms of industry and what part you want to go into. Mm. But yeah, I don't think it matters. I might be interested in HR now. In 10 years' time, I might be interested in something totally different. But if you follow the same concepts of learn about what you're interested in, learn how you can add value to an industry or a company or a team that you want to work with, you can move.
Like, so to sum up, really, you know, if you're not sure of the industry, and I know you were interested in banking, but if you're not sure of the industry and you like the sound of HR, it is a great career to sort of get started with, because that, you know, at a later date you might be decide that you are, you know, interested in aviation, as the example I used earlier, and you find companies there, and then you would apply for HR roles within that sector, and before you know it you're working in the aviation field. So I think, you know, that's a great benefit, really. And and as part of it as well, as you said, you know, you're networking with so many different types of people and learning all these life skills. For individuals who've been listening to this and who are inspired by what you've said and are keen to pursue a career in HR now, Annabelle, can you give us some tips? I mean, obviously you've gone through the academic route, and that's really worked for you very well. And as you say, you know, you almost got to the pinnacle of academia, really, before actually moving into HR. But there are other options, aren't there? So give us some sort of other options, and give us some tips of, you know, how people can get started if they're sitting at school or college and wanting to start their career.
I would say when you're at school, you have the benefit of school holidays where, you know, find a company down your road and say, hey, I'm really interested in HR. I've got half term coming up. Could I come and work for free in your HR department, just doing some admin, just to get a feel of what it's like? You know, when you're in there, you might be doing a job that you don't necessarily want to do if you don't want to do the admin, but you know, take that on the chin. You're being given a really good opportunity to speak to everyone else in that company. And who knows, that might work out for you further down the line when you leave school.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I would say, like I keep saying, learn about HR. Google it, you know. Look at different syllabuses at university. You don't necessarily need to go, but it gives you a good starting point of what you want to look for and what you want to read about.
And will people be able to find stuff? I mean, they may be sitting there thinking, okay, but what do I Google?
I mean, you can find your ex-boyfriend's girlfriend in about 3 seconds on Facebook if you want to, knowing just her middle name.
Okay.
So I would say it's, you know, the information is there if you want to find it.
Okay. So you would Google, you would ask for work experience in local firms. What other tips, especially for school leavers who maybe not sure if they want to do a degree?
Yeah. So if you're leaving school and you don't necessarily want to do a degree, the nice thing about HR is you can start right now. You can go straight into a company working in HR, not even necessarily at the bottom, but let's say at the bottom, and work your way up. You'll learn a lot while you're there, and you can supplement it with outside reading, like Googling or whatever, that you're interested in. You could easily do that.
And there are professional qualifications as well, aren't there, with HR?
I would Google the CIPD, which is the Chartered Institute of Personal Development.
So that's CIPD.
And that's a course that you can do. You can either do a diploma or the equivalent of like a master's in it.
And I guess you could ask your employers if they would sponsor you to do that.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And how long does that take?
Well, it can vary.
Yeah.
I don't know the longest. For me, my master's covered a CIPD. So my master's was a year and my exams covered that. So I did it in a year.
Okay.
I think you can take it at your own pace, but I'm not sure.
Great. So, Annabelle, for those who have been listening, you know, and are now really interested in a role in HR, but maybe they want to do a degree, but maybe they don't. Can you give us some tips on how to get started?
I would say the first thing is to be aware of the options available to you. When I went to university, in my head, that was the only option. In some of my friends' heads, university was never an option, and you finish school at 16, you go straight into work. But neither of us would cross over at different options. So now, you know, you can go to university, you can go straight into work, you can do an apprenticeship. I'd say be aware of those and do research into each one so that you can actually choose the right one that works for you. Secondly, I would say find people that you know who maybe have done one of the other routes. So you can ask them, what has their experience been? What are the challenges? What are the good things?
And where would you find those people?
Okay, if they're not in your immediate group, go on LinkedIn. You know, you can find people the same way you'd find them on Facebook, you know. Search these people, send them an email. I'm really interested in HR. I see that you've done that and it looks like you went to X university. Just wondered if I could spend 10 minutes on the phone with you, or if you could just respond to these bullet points so that I could get a bit of an idea of what it's like. I would also, if you can, find role models in the same way you would in any other place. So before I started working, I would have role models from people that I'd read about, and you start to emulate them. Like, what has made them successful? What do I like about them? What can I start doing in the same way? I now do that at work. I work in a really big company, so there's a lot of people in a lot of different industries. And even just walking around the floor, I can see these people and think, oh, they're really inspirational. What do I like about them? How can I mimic what they're doing? So I would say do that.
Annabelle, I think that's been really inspiring. Some great tips there. I think just to round up, you know, to make it clear to everybody listening that if you go into HR, it gives you tremendous opportunities in a whole variety of industries. But it's also very much a generic skill that can enable you to acquire lessons and skills and knowledge, which will really help you in later life in all aspects, not just in your career. And that to access it, you can take a number of routes. The degree and academic route is certainly one, but you can go in as a school leaver and work your way up. And there are professional qualifications that you can study alongside. So thanks very much for that, Annabelle. And if anybody wants to ask you any questions, how would be the best way for them to contact you?
Probably on my LinkedIn.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.